Jerry Lee Lewis is one of the founders of rock and roll and a Hall of Fame member. He is our guest today. Along with Little Richard, he taught the world how to play rock and roll piano. At 71, he is back with his first album in 20 years, and the first time he has shared the spotlight with a variety of rockers, including John Fogerty and Bruce Springsteen. We'll talk with Jerry today about the early days of his career. To start, as one who enjoys the spotlight himself, I asked Jerry Lee Lewis what he thought about being with all those rock luminaries who ended up helping him out on the new album.
Well, this is my first album that I've done in 20 years.
Yeah.
I thought it would be different. It would be good to invite some other artists on the album.
Come on, Mel Killer.
Well, now you may think I'm a fool for the foolish things I do. You may wonder how come I love you when you get on my nerves like you do. Well, baby,
that's Pink Cadillac with Bruce Springsteen from Last Man Standing. As Keller just said, it is his first album in 20 years. Jerry Lee, why was now the time to do this? Why'd you feel up to it now?
I don't know. I was just doing a show one night, and I decided that it was kind of time, but it sounded like my voice was back in shape for me to do an album. So I figured I'd a CD. So I figured I would go into the studio and with the right people and get the job done.
Now your voice is one thing, but your piano playing has never really fallen that far off, I would say. Your right hand sounds pretty darn good these days. Is that how it's been with you? Mostly the voice had fallen off a bit?
Well, no, the voice hasn't fallen off that much. It's just that you get it in your mind, you know. You get to thinking these things.
Mm-hmm.
But the piano playing has been no problem. As long as you're working and doing shows, you keep in practice, it's good. But if you lay off from work a long time and don't work quite a bit, you can get rusty.
Last Man Standing, of course, refers to the folks in, well, sort of to the Million Dollar Quartet, but people like Roy Orbison along with Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, and, of course, Elvis Presley. It's funny, Jerry, you were kind of seen as the hardest living guy of all those guys back in the day, and ironically, here you are.
Yeah, they said I was the roughest living cat around, but I proved them wrong on that.
Absolutely, absolutely. When you think of rock and roll piano, it kind of begins with you and Little Richard. Who did you learn from? Where did it come from for you?
I taught myself. I started playing piano when I was 8 years old. My folks bought me a piano, and I taught myself to play. I taught my own style, and whenever I done anybody else's song, I done it my way. My style of playing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you come from a family of, and I can call them performers. I can call your cousin Jimmy Swaggart a performer. Of course, Mickey Gilley. Now, people talked about how you turned to the devil's music. Have you ever felt the pull of religion over the years?
Well, I was raised in the church, and I learned to play a lot of piano in the church when I. On Wednesday and Sunday nights.
Mm-hmm.
No, I never considered my music a devil's music.
Other people would say that, not you.
Yeah, it has been said. It's been written before.
Right, but that's never but what you felt about it.
No, I wouldn't call it that, no.
Now, I've got this picture of you and apparently in your daddy's truck driving to Memphis to go visit Sam Phillips at Sun Records. What did he think that you were going to be signed with? Did he have really good feelings about you right there, your daddy, when you first went up there to Memphis?
Yeah, he had a lot of faith in me. He knew what I could do, and my daddy taught me a lot. My mother did too.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, we were pulling corn out in the cornfield one day, and I told my daddy, I said, I was 20 years old. I told my daddy, I said, I'm going up to Memphis and audition for Sam Phillips, because he's the one that started Elvis Presley and got him going. I said, if he started him and got him going, he could sure get me going.
Do you remember what you played at your audition?
Crazy Arms.
Did you? And that was the first cut, the first track that was cut.
Yeah.
Now I believe.
Now, had you been playing rock and roll, or had you been playing country music before you ended up in Memphis when you were down in Faraday?
I played both. My style of country music, which would be rhythm and blues kind of country music, is hard to explain.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly a lot of boogie-woogie rock and roll, yeah. Whole lot of shaking going on type music.
The Lewis boogie, shall we say.
Yeah, Lewis boogie, right.
Absolutely. Jerry Lee, we've always assumed that you call everybody killer, and I was just wondering if that's the origin of where that came from.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah.
In high school.
Really? It goes that far back?
It goes that far back. Sure. It goes back about to the eighth grade.
Huh. Do you remember the circumstance?
A boy called Cecil Harrison, he's with me today, as a matter of fact. We were both called down to the principal's office at the same time, and were both expelled for 2 weeks at the same time, apiece. And because we were fighting with teachers, of all things. And we got in trouble over that. And we were walking outside the gate, and Cecil, that's the first time I'd met Cecil, and he said, "What am I going to call you now?" I said, I don't know. He said, "I'll just call you Killer." And we've been calling each other Killer ever since. He said, "I'll meet you at the pool hall."
Oh, that is funny. So did you get back in school, or did you was that
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah, we got back in school in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, I wanted to play another one from this new album that works particularly well, and that is The Traveling Band with John Fogerty. This just kind of leans right into the heart of what you do. And how do you feel about that one?
Oh, it's a good one. It's fast, but it's a good one.
Uh-huh. Well, you keep up, or he keeps up, I'll put it that way.
John Fogerty keeps up. He plays drums on it.
This is Traveling Band with John Fogerty playing live with my guest today, Jerry Lee Lewis, from the new one called Last Man Standing.
Kick it off, killer.
Seven birds of seven coming out of the sky. Won't you take me down to Memphis on a midnight ride? I want to move, playing in a traveling band. Oh, yeah. I'm flying across the land, trying to get a hand, playing in a traveling band. Get me to the hotel, baby.
Woo!
Huey Lewis is our guest today on the World Cafe, and he's got a new album of duets with people playing, not just singing with him, but doing all kinds of things. You mentioned John Fogerty playing drums on that particular track, on a version of the Fogerty tune called Traveling Band. Now, you're going to be playing Farm Aid this year, and a lot of people are really looking forward to that. And one of the things, when people go to a Jerry Lee show, you know that there's a whole bunch of people just waiting to the end of the show for you to kick the piano stool away. Do you remember the first time you did it, and was it spontaneous that first time?
Well, I did it in Canada. I couldn't think of anything else to do. I said, I got to do something different, you know. And so I told my boys in the band, I said, I'm going to kick that piano stool back out of the way. I said, I'm just going to push it back out of the way, not kick it back out of the way. And I went to push it back, and my boot got hung in it, and it kicked it over, and it turned over a couple of times. And the crowd just went crazy over it. And so I was stuck with that one for the rest of my life.
The rest of your life is the way to look at it. Well, another thing is looking back at love as a part of your life, was love worth it? Because you really paid for it professionally and personally over the years with the people you've fallen in love with. I understand your latest marriage is a thing of the past at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not married now.
All right. So you're available, in other words.
Well, I could be available, yes. But I'd have to do a lot of thinking about that.
But you certainly, you followed your heart early on, and you ended up paying for it professionally. Were you ever bitter about that?
No, I never got bitter about it. I got a little bit upset about it, but. Mm-hmm. No, I never got bitter about it. I never held anything against anybody. But this last marriage was a real killer. And I don't want to get tangled up in another one like that.
I did want to ask something about the we talk about you kicking away the stool, and it usually comes at the time when you're doing the songs that everybody in the world knows you for. And how Great Balls of Fire was an Otis Blackwell tune, and how did you end up getting that song from Otis?
He wrote the song for me.
Mm-hmm.
And sent it down to me.
Now, he'd been writing for Elvis as well, right?
Yeah, he wrote some of Elvis, and he wrote that one for me, and he wrote Breathless for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote so many great songs.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much of love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo, my honey. I've changed my mind, this love is fine. It's just great balls of fire. Kisses, baby. Mmm, feels good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a shoe. Well, you're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine. I chew my nails down and I twiddle my thumb. I'm real on earth, but it sure is. Come on, baby. It's just great balls of fire.
Now, that Otis Blackwell, how did he come? As, did he write for both rock and roll performers and for other black performers as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
He was so surprised when he first met me. He was shocked. I met him at the Paramount Theater in New York City before they tore it down. And he said, you can't be a white boy. You can't be white. And he just kept on going. He was very surprised.
Did you get that reaction a lot? Did you ever get in one of those situations where you got booked into a black theater?
No, I never had a problem. I was booked into the Apollo Theater, and I was the first white act to ever play the Apollo Theater. And I played it for 9 days straight. Big hit.
Wow. Now, they knew who you were, though, and they weren't surprised by you coming out, right?
They were surprised at first. I was very, you could hear a pin drop when I first went out on stage. But after the first song, we got along pretty good.
God, I hate you to love me, let's please don't tease. If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love won't tumble me down. You leave me breathless. Well, I shake all over, and you know why. I'm sure it's love, honey, and that's no lie. Cause when you call my name, you know I burn like wood in flame. You leave me breathless.
That is breathless, and do you still stay connected to those songs? Do you still enjoy performing them?
Oh, I love performing it. I love doing it. It's the people get such a kick out of it too, and there's a lot of young people out there today that's coming around. It's really enthusiastic.
Well, Jerry Lee Lewis, thank you so much. A real treat to spend some time with you.
Thank you, Killer.